Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Half Street Group brings a new generation's perspective to leadership communications, strategic public relations, and digital marketing. Half Street helps organizations and leaders take control of their own stories and manage their reputations. They get results for their clients by focusing on audience, message, and culture, and by leveraging their decade-long relationship with media and opinion leaders in the Ocean State and throughout New England. Join me and Half Street Group founder and president Mike Rea for a conversation every month about news of the day, the hottest media analysis, and a look behind the scenes at how impactful leaders drive conversations. Learn more at halfstreetgroup.com.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.
So whether he meant it or not, Peter Alviti, the director of the Department of Transportation, went on the radio this morning and told us what we pretty much all already know, which is that the Washington Bridge is coming down, at least significantly coming down in terms of most of the infrastructure. And he described it this morning as there's going to be a new bridge structure in place. Good morning, everybody. I guess this is somewhat relevant. Again, Peter Alviti has spent a lot of this crisis freelancing on WPRO and on Zoom calls with legislators and so on and so forth. So immediately I reached out to the governor's office and I asked, really, hey, can you confirm what Alviti said on the radio this morning, that the state is getting ready to, within the next week or so, give the go-ahead to dismantle parts of the bridge and rebuild it? And can you give us some more context? Explain what that means. What do you mean by dismantling parts of the bridge and rebuilding? It sounds to me like what we've been preparing for, what we basically know from reporting and from expertise that we've had on the show here and beyond across the media writ large, is that this thing's coming down. And the idea that a bridge that was, you know, supposedly passed inspection in July, and then all of a sudden in December they find a critical failure, and now just a few months later is on the verge of literally being in need of replacement. No way that that's just a random situation. Something happened along the way that was missed. It's a failure of government, and there's no other way to spin it. I mean, let's be honest about it, folks. So again, I'm not sure how much you can take from Alviti's commentary. He's slipped a couple of times over this stretch here in terms of his public engagement. He does this weekly appearance with Gene Valicente every Thursday morning. They call it Ask the DOT. They play the song King of the Road. He comes on, and most of it is spent taking calls from people around the state. Somebody might call up and say, hey, there's a pothole out on Route 138 over by Oliphant Road. And what are you going to do about it? And so he'll say, well, we'll have our traffic engineers take a look at it. We'll take a look at that. We'll fix it. Or he'll cite some work schedule that may actually overlap with that person's complaint. That's the gist of that appearance. On a weekly basis, Alviti does this. Sometimes it becomes a news generator. More than anything, it's just a constituent service piece that Alviti gets involved in. But again, here this morning on WPRO, goes on with Valicente and says that there's going to be work to put a new bridge structure in place. The quote itself, I actually read from the Boston Globe, who put this in print. I expect that over the next week or so, their work will be complete. Their work being the variety of inspectors on the bridge, one of whom's report we already obtained a couple of weeks ago and showed a dire situation on the bridge, right? He says that they will report on that to me and the governor, and we hope to be very soon to be giving them the go-ahead to begin the work to take down the parts of the bridge that need to come down and rebuild a new bridge there. Stay tuned on that. We're getting close. Well, it doesn't really sound like you're getting close. It sounds like you're there. And I happen to think that they've been there. Alviti wasn't able to produce any other information. Again, I wrote to the governor's office this morning, haven't heard back from them on this. I don't know if they were caught by surprise, if this is another example of Alviti's freelancing tendency, if this was supposed to be rolled out. It does seem like he has grown so comfortable in that Valicente appearance every week that he has no problem saying whatever comes to mind. Valicente pushed him a little bit on this, and he really said, you know, didn't really offer too much. He said, when I say new bridge, I mean in whatever form it takes, and they're still working on the details of that. They being, again, those inspectors and engineers that are performing sort of the assessment pieces, and there's multiple of them. He went on to say, but the final scope will be determined over the next week or so. So that timeline originally set for the end of February, sometime in March, well, now we know sometime in the next week or so, we can expect that big press conference, and it will be a big press conference. It'll probably be one of those similar to the at the beginning of this saga where you have the, basically the entire media there. And the questions will obviously be twofold. We've been trying to put this into two different categories here on Bartholomew Town since really from Jump Street on the problem. Number one, the convenience factor, which extends to those who are stuck in traffic, those who have to commute on any kind of regular basis across the Washington Bridge, and are experiencing really the most annoying part about it is the unpredictability, a stretch that used to take a couple of minutes to cross, now sometimes taking well over an hour to cross. Other times it is just, as the governor has said, just another 10 minutes or something like that as you're crossing. It depends on time of day, depends on time of the week, depends on if there's accidents in or around the bridge itself, or on or around the bridge itself, I should say. And that unpredictability is really driving people crazy. There's no doubt about it. Second piece of that whole thing is the business impact. Obviously, you've got small businesses, medium-sized businesses that rely on the Washington Bridge for their customers. And people, even from a psychological standpoint, are definitely making the decision to say, well, if I can go somewhere, if I live on the East Bay and I don't need to cross to the West Bay, I'm just going to stay on the East Bay and vice versa. And so that piece, in tandem with a forthcoming, soon to be forthcoming, super regional crisis, when you start talking about Cape Cod tourism traffic, when you start talking about Martha's Vineyard, the whole deal over there, and then the inverse of that, where people come to Providence in the summer, or even in some cases use that artery as a way to get into other parts of New England, now you're going to be talking about a super regional economic crisis. So that's one bucket, if you will, the inconvenience, the small business piece, all of that's there. That's critical. Now, there was a report that the Boston Globe had yesterday that there was a company that evidently is in some level of dialogue with the state about building a temporary bridge structure. We see this in a military context, right? The U.S. in various invasions, after they blow up a bridge, one of the big cash cows in the military industrial complex is to send somebody in there to quickly build another bridge. That's a common thread in military adventures. Why not deploy something like that here? Is that safe? Is that reliable? What sort of time frame would it take to construct that? Is that a smart move? What sort of cost would be associated with that? Is that something that can be funded federally because it's an interstate? Is that something that can be funded using some kind of grant-based system? Who knows? But what we do know is that conversation, again, based on reporting from the Boston Globe, has taken place. Haven't gotten an answer beyond the fact that, that temporary bridge conversation is taking place. What we want to know, of course, on that convenience side and on that business side is how long is this going to take? Nobody really cares about the money, you know, how much it's going to cost. At the end of the day, it's sort of just faceless money anyway. It's taxpayer money and it's just a lot. It's going to be a lot. You know, the breakdown per person, per capita, I don't know. We know it's going to cost a lot. No one really cares about that. It's not a fiscally conservative move here in any way, shape, or form. This is a conversation about how quickly can we restore some level of normalcy or at least some level of predictability. Because if you go to a situation where either a temporary bridge is in place or this three-lane restriping of the bypass is actually somewhat successful, it may not necessarily get you back to a position where you were prior to the December closure of the span, but it might give you some level of predictability to know, okay, you know what? It's going to take me 15 minutes to cross this bridge. I know it's basically that. It's been pretty consistent, and now I can plan accordingly. That will help the small business. That'll help the psychological crisis around this whole thing. Of course, the other bucket is the oversight piece, is the investigative piece. What happened? How do you get to a point where this bridge is now, again, just a few months, really, when you talk about July of last year, inspected, oh, this thing's totally fine, no problem. We don't need to close the bridge, it's totally fine. Now the thing's, at minimum, a partial, or it seems to me, like, based on just reporting, based on conversations on and off the record with engineers, inspectors, construction specialists, bridge specialists, how do you go from a point where the bridge passes inspection to any level of dismantlement? And in this case, it seems like it's going to be a significant one. They're going to have to rebuild the bridge. They're going to have to rebuild the Washington Bridge. We've known it for weeks now, maybe even months. Why on earth is this thing being trickled out? Why on earth is Alviti on the radio trickling this out? Why not just take some leadership and stand there and say, something went wrong here with an oversight, with an inspection level operation. We're going to figure it out. In the meantime, this bridge is not only going to have to go through the closure and significant disruption that we are, we're going to have to take this thing down and rebuild it. Our bridge, by the way, it's all of our bridge. It's not like Alviti owns the bridge or something like this. This is our operation here. But instead of that, we get trickle out stuff. Alviti on the radio again, you know, little drops in the bucket about what is likely going to be a major mega disruption for years to come. Plain and simple, period. So you've got that in the background of an investigation. Now, there's three things happening. Number one, you've got the federal investigation, right? The U.S. attorney looking at that. The False Claims Act violation. Money, federal money, was given to the state to disperse to contractors for the repair and maintenance and upgrades to that bridge. Where did the money go? Why have we seen some of the bizarre stuff around some of the contractors with this whole operation? How do we get to this point? That's the federal investigation. Similarly, the Department of Administration under McKee ordered their own investigation. We haven't heard anything about that in a long time, really, since it commenced, or if it did commence. We heard about it happening or set to happen. And then there's the House, the General Assembly Joint Oversight Session. They had one of those. Basically, nothing came out of it. And I'm told that there won't be any more. And the last thing that they want to have is members of the administration, whether it's Alviti, Joe Almond, anybody from the governor's office, anybody in an administrative capacity sitting side by side with a private contractor that may or may not be engaged in anything nefarious or anything that is at least, you know, a misfire, a swing and a miss. They want to separate themselves from this, and I understand, as far as I'm told, Shikarchi does not want to hold any more of these oversight hearings. The last one was a bit performative. You had Mike Chippendale with an incomplete assertion about a PowerPoint presentation that we also obtained, we also published. He was in front of the DOT, didn't properly, in my opinion anyway, drill down on that, used it as more of a flashpoint for a little bit of generation on conservative media. But beyond that, really nothing came out of that oversight hearing. So, again, today, is it news? I guess so. I think it won't. Nothing surprises us. But Alviti on the radio says we're going to get a new bridge. Why not just clean, simple, roll it out, the trickle-out thing? It's driving people nuts, man. People, if you have to traverse the span, I traverse it every day, all right? I don't really mind going to the East Bay in the middle of the day. I go in for the afternoon radio show at PRO. Leave here in Providence, the Bartholomew Town studio. I leave, I don't know, 1:30, depends on the day, 1:45, to get in to do show prep over there for 2-ish, you know, and for York for the afternoon. And that's fine. I rarely encounter significant traffic that's annoying. Sometimes I do, and, you know, you just get off and I drive through the city, and I actually kind of enjoy it. I go down you make a right there by the Trader Joe's, and you get on the highway over off of India Point Park. But coming back, it is so inconsistent. It is so annoying. You know, I value my time so much, as do all of you. We all do. And if I could plan, if I said, you know, it's going to take a half hour, okay, you can mentally prepare for that, but the fact that you have this inconsistency, it's driving people crazy. We hear about it every day on the radio. We hear about it every day in person. It's impacting businesses. I mean, I'm not sure. This summer, I've got a couple of shows scheduled, or that we're working on, I should say, live events and performances in the East Bay. I don't know what does that look like? Most of my listeners, I'm not sure they're going to want to travel from Providence or from the Providence Metro on the West Bay to the East Bay. Now, I got listeners in the East Bay, and I love it when we play Galactic Theater or we do an event over there. There's definitely people out there, and we love you guys. So we want to serve you as well. But I'm looking at it from the standpoint of, on a micro level, just my own question. That's something I'm kind of thinking about, making decisions about. If I owned an actual business in the region, and I've talked to business owners in the region, it is rough, man. It is just so rough. I just don't understand. What I'm completely flabbergasted about is the rollout of this thing. You know, at this point, everybody knows. Everybody knows. Something went wrong. All right? No, everybody knows. Something went wrong. There was a flub, a gap, a misfire, whether it's in an inspection level, a contractor level, a DOT level, something went wrong. Could go back to Roger Williams, for all we know, as I said the other day. We don't know. We do know something went wrong here. Something's wrong. And as we looked at it a little closer, the bridge is pretty messed up. And it's hard to see a path forward. So the real truth is that this thing has got to come down and we're going to have to rebuild it. And that's going to take years. And we need to prepare for that. Why not just roll it out simple? The trickle-out thing is so wild to me. I don't get it. I don't. Alvidi's doing himself no favors by this. And in turn, you know, McKee becomes, as the leader of the state, as the leader of the administration, as the governor, you know, it's not helping his cause in any way, shape, or form. It just isn't. I had learned through a couple of different channels that there was some tension between McKee and Alvidi over sort of his freelancing about information that's critical to the project, that's critical to the operation. There was some tension there. So I'm surprised that Alvini continues to kind of trickle stuff out. Now, I know he wants to be candid too. He's not interested in this thing stretching out. It's just, he wants to be candid. He doesn't want to go in there and say, yeah, we don't know yet, when he knows in his heart, just like we all do, the bridge is coming down. We all know the bridge is coming down. I think that's the thing that gets me, is we know it's going to have to come down. There's going to be a demolition of the Washington Bridge. You know, nobody really cares about, oh, we were able to save this small portion of it, or that small portion, or this aspect of it. We only care about that when you can get expertise framed out to tell us the time frame. The bridge is destroyed. It's garbage. The Washington Bridge is total garbage. It's like a hoarder. At some point, you just got to go through and throw out everything. You got to toss it in the dumpster. Get rid of it. Don't donate it. Don't try to repurpose it. Don't sell it on eBay. Don't try to do drop shipping. Just get it out of your life. We need to get this bridge out of our life as soon as possible. This piece of garbage. This piece of garbage infrastructure that has been so poorly maintained that months after it passed inspection, supposedly, now the thing's coming down. And Alvidi on the radio this morning, he says, I expect that over the next week or so, there will be a complete, their work will be complete, the inspector's work will be complete. They'll report that to me and the governor, and we hope to be very soon be giving them the go-ahead to begin the work to take down parts of the bridge. They need to come down and rebuild a new bridge there. He said it. Governor's office hasn't confirmed. Can't imagine the governor's office likes that presentation. They probably want to put out a press release. They probably want to do a press event, have this thing clean with expertise. Instead, random trickles to an answer that we already know. We already know it. We know the bridge is coming down. We know it's junk. So we'll continue to follow this, of course, as we have here on Bartholomew Town. And folks, again, it's enormously frustrating. And I'm frustrated. My life, I'm basically able to navigate this thing without it being super disruptive to my overall peace and wellness. You know, if I'm in the car, you know, I've got a new podcast routine, or I'll put on the radio and I'll listen to K-Mac and Rooch, the sports show on WPRO, or I'll put it on WCBS 880, and I'll listen to Michael Wallace and the afternoon drive show down in New York, catch up on my New York news for the afternoon. you know, I'll put on some podcasts and music. You know, I'll put on some music. It's a great chance to listen to music too, right? Maybe I don't make calls during that time because it's unpredictable. I don't want to get in the middle of a call and then, oh, good, the bridge is moving, so I can now I'm home. Let me jump off of it. But I'm personally like, okay, this is I'm fine. I'll be good. Whatever. If I have to sit in traffic, I have to sit in traffic. But I'm frustrated for you guys. You guys are dealing with this every day, multiple times a day. Those of you who have kids, those of you who have businesses, my heart's breaking for some of the businesses. I have friends who have businesses that adapted and survived the pandemic barely in the East Bay. That right now, this to them and what they are telling me, and I don't have any reason to doubt this, the Washington Bridge is literally causing their businesses to spiral out of control. And I don't want to sit here and say, well, you know, this is what happens when you have a failure of government. You know, the consequences are far reaching. We know that. Nobody wants to see this. Also, the portrayal of, you know, this sort of nasty portrayal of the administration, I don't think that's accurate in any way. I think that's completely over the top as well. Nobody wanted this. This is going to be Alviti's legacy, you know, and you hate to see it, you know, because this is how he'll be remembered. You will not, when you think of Peter Alviti in 20 years, you'll think of the guy who was at the DOT during the Washington Bridge. And unless they come up, unless they can pull the rabbit out of the hat in the next couple of weeks and say, hey, we're building a temporary bridge in and be the hero. Because just closing the bridge before it collapsed, that's not enough to get you to hero status. Yes, understood. Nobody died. Nobody was injured. No loss of the bridge didn't actually collapse. Okay. So therefore, yes, that is, but that's also your job. That's like basic, your job. That's like celebrating every air traffic controller that doesn't have an in-air accident. Or every, you know, anybody. They need to dial it in. The people's faith in government is on the line. Alviti's legacy is on the line if it hasn't already shifted into a place that is irrecoverable. Why is he going on the radio saying this stuff if they don't have the full rollout ready to go? Don't get it. Don't get it. Okay? I'm not a state communications expert. Never worked for a principal in a communications sense. You know, in other words, I never worked for, you know, an executive or a governor or anybody like that and did comms, right? So I don't know what the best practices are here other than being on the receiving end of literally thousands and thousands of communications and knowing this trickle-out thing is just irritating people, and people are already so on edge about this. It's a shame. It really, really is a shame, and I implore them to just get it dialed in. No more trickle-out stuff. Just make a decision. We'll handle it. We're smart. We're capable of, you know, we don't need to be talked down to. Just say, hey, bridge has got to come down. Something went wrong. Somebody blew something somewhere when it came to inspections. We're going to figure it out. So too is the federal government. In the meantime, we're taking action. And we're closing, not only closing, but we're going to demolish this bridge and rebuild that. All right, that's my take, and we'll continue to monitor it. Hey, speaking of legacies, how about the legacy of a $3.4 billion institution that serves more than 136,000 members right here in Rhode Island across 25 physical branch locations? Going back to 1915, yeah, Navigant Credit Union, Rhode Island's first ever member-owned credit union. Navigant Credit Union has been a staple of the local business community for more than 108 years. That's right. Navigant Credit Union's team of financial professionals have remained committed to improving the financial well-being of the families, businesses, and communities they serve across Rhode Island, our state, the Ocean State. Navigant Credit Union, a staple. Great place to do your banking. A lot of great tools. They were just named by, U.S. News and World Report? One of those national publications named them one of the top credit unions in the country. And they are. NavigantCU.org. Learn more right now. We will be back potentially tomorrow if we have some developments on the bridge. A lot going on as well in some of the stories that we've been following. You may have heard or seen my reporting online. Remember the Narragansett Seawall controversy? They want to charge, or not, pardon me, they want to ostensibly charge you through ticketing, but they want to put parking restrictions in terms of time limits on the Narragansett Seawall. That went to the State Traffic Commission yesterday, and it was voted to be continued. There's some legal maneuvers that are kind of gunking that process up, which is a good thing. I think that it's outrageous that they want to put time restrictions on the Narragansett Seawall. It's free parking right now. It seems like gatekeeping, NIMBYism to me, and I think to a lot of other people. That's a state-owned road. And so for the town of Narragansett to install those parking restrictions and then chalk tires, who actually has the right to enforce that? That's a question. So there may be some hope just on a procedural level that this thing's going to actually not pass, but to be determined right there. And we'll continue to keep an eye on that, of course. Also, trying to get some expertise from Mystic Aquarium. I really want to double back down on the, I want to double back on the whale thing because I feel bad. I feel bad because I really ripped the aquarium on Twitter. And again, I don't believe that there should be large mammals in swimming pools in Connecticut. Okay, that's like a fundamental belief that I have. And I know that they do great work around a lot of areas of science, of rehab, rescue. The fact that they euthanized that one of those whales last week that washed ashore without trying to push it back into the ocean. I know the whale was sick. I know that there's a compassion level there that's really important to remember. But I wish I knew more about the thought process there. So I am trying to get some expertise. I had some people reach out to me from their volunteer rescue team that wanted to come on. So we're trying to coordinate that. Busy week next week, kicking off with Harrison Tuttle. It's been a while since he's been on. We got to catch up with the leader of the Black Lives Matter Political Action Committee here in Rhode Island, Leo Boer, and much more. Hey, that rhymes. On that note, we'll talk to you next week. Bye, everybody.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.